First foot down for North Carolina. Guess what? Been worth.
Hello and welcome, episode 45 of 6 Point Weekend. We are brought to you by Tasty Beverage Company, tastybeverageco.com, the Beautiful Game Network, BGN FM, and the Golden Goal Press, goldengoalpress.com. Friends of the pod, Soccer and Sweet Tea.
Hashtag SNST fam.
I am your guest host this week, Simon. I am joined by Ebony.
Hello.
And you can also support the podcast on Patreon, patreon.com/6pointweekend. And because Justin pays us that sweet, sweet money, 6 Point Weekend is brought to you by whiskey, because no good tailgate ever started with a glass of milk. Justin, I hate you, but I will take your cash. We are joined this week by new friend of the pod, Ben Spees, native of Ohio. Ben began his soccer career with Everest FC, moving on to the IMG Academy, where he eventually joined the Columbus Crew setup in 2008. He went on to play for the University of Akron and eventually transferred to UNC Chapel Hill in 2011, where he scored the game-winning goal in that season's NCAA College Cup final. Ben then went on to play for the Michigan Bucks, Columbus Crew, Minnesota United, and Indy 11 before joining the Dead Whales on loan at the start of the 2019 USL Championship season. It is our pleasure to welcome Ben Spees to the 6 Point Weekend podcast. Ben, welcome.
Hey, guys. Awesome. Thanks for having me on. I'm excited to be on the show, and I've heard a lot of good things from the guys about being on the show.
Cool, man. Well, we are really glad to have you on the team, and we're very glad to have you on the pod. I'm not going to lie, I enjoy seeing you in this blue shirt much more than I enjoyed seeing you in a blue shirt last year.
Yeah, that's fair. That's definitely fair. It's been good to wear this blue shirt, and I mean, we're only 6 games in, but yeah, I'm feeling great.
I have one quick thing I want to ask you. Have you dried out from last year's Indy 11 NCFC game, the one that was like 35 degrees and raining the whole time?
I mean, that was the coldest I've been in North Carolina for sure. I mean, it was raining, but man, it might as well have been snowing. I was down for it. That was rough.
Yeah, that was not a good day for the home team. But congrats on being selected the team of the week, bud. You guys put in a shift, and it really showed.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we were pretty focused on this game, that game, just like we are for all games. But, I mean, with it being Charlotte, that was important to us to make a statement. And, I think everyone came out and we showed that. And we were able to put our stamp on the game. And, we're really happy with the 3 points.
So you just beat, like, probably our most hated rival in Charlotte. Captain Austin DeLuz give you guys any words of wisdom before the game that are or aren't specifically FCC friendly?
There might have been some words, but yeah, I mean, most importantly, just to make sure that everyone realized that this is an important game to the club and to our supporters, and I think that we showed that. We wanted to come out strong and start the game well, and I think we did just that. And obviously, we were away from home, but all you guys were there, and it was a big number, and I think that really, really pushed us on and helped us get the win for sure.
So we talked a little bit about your history going into soccer, but when you were younger, how did you get into the sport of soccer?
That's a good question. My older brother actually played. He's 12 years older than me, so he's quite a bit older. He played and kind of just had soccer balls around the house, so that kind of started it. And then just fell in love with him. Played club soccer. Played rec soccer and then club soccer when I was about 10, and kind of took off and started to practice more and work on some things. So yeah, it just took off, and yeah, I've been very fortunate and lucky to continue to keep playing today.
What was one of the biggest, or like the biggest adjustment when you transferred to Carolina from Akron?
Sure. it was definitely a big adjustment for a lot of reasons. Some reasons off the field. I mean, I'm from Akron, so that was everyone I knew was there. And coming to Carolina, there was a big change off the field. But I think that the team on the field and everything that we had with the soccer program really made me feel at home. And I mean, I think that helped us be so successful and helped me be comfortable. So, I mean, that was an incredible experience. And I mean, I'll never forget my time at GNC.
So we talked a little bit about you playing with Indy 11. Tell us about your experience there and how you eventually made it here on loan to the Dead Whales.
Yes. I've been playing against NCFC for a while now with Minnesota and the NASL and then obviously Indy 11. Those are two good experiences, both of those clubs. And I had always followed along with NCFC just from my time at Carolina, and obviously it's a really good club, and it's a really good place to be. And so I was really excited to have this opportunity to play for NCFC this year. And it was definitely a no-brainer. And I think all the pieces kind of just fit into place with the team, and obviously with the coaching staff and Dave and everything. So it's been great. I mean, we're real early in the season, but I think things are definitely clicking.
How has it been working with Dave?
Yeah. So like I said, Dave is a huge gift for the club. The club has a ton of things going for it, and when Dave was announced, I mean that just was awesome. So he's been really good. He's been good to work for. I really like how he approaches the game and how we approach games and training sessions. And I've had quite a few coaches, and Dave is pretty simple, and he's straight to the point, and I think that helps us. That helps us perform, and that lets everyone be on the same page, and that's been really good for us.
So we have with the last week against the Charlotte Independence of Matthews, and coming up this week we have Hartford Athletic. Hartford has yet to win a game. They've had a pretty tough sled. Have you guys in training kept the intensity up, even though that they're a winless team, they're an expansion team, they've been on the road for 8 weeks. What have you guys been doing in training to kind of make sure you this isn't a trap?
Sure. I mean. It doesn't matter who we play. We want to be sharp. However, yes, they have. I think, like you said, they've been on the road for every single game. And for us, I don't know the numbers, but this is one of our few home games in the next however many games. So obviously, that's important to us to get points at home and with our home crowd and all of that. So we are definitely going to come out and we're going to look to get 3 points this weekend. And it doesn't really matter who we're playing. It's Hartford, but we want to focus on ourselves. And I think we'll be able to do that at home.
All right. I like the way that sounds. Yeah, you brought up the schedule. Our next two games are away at Indy 11 and at Ottawa Fury FC in what I like to call the NASL Survivors Cup. I think we have everybody in the Eastern Conference except San Antonio.
Yeah.
So maybe we should get a trophy for that too.
I mean, I like trophies. So one question before we get to the rapid fire. You've kind of been in a good form. You had that rocket on Saturday. Thank you, by the way. How do you see yourself developing as the year goes on? Because right now we're sitting in fifth, but we do still have some very tough opponents coming up, especially I believe we play the Baby Bulls again.
Yeah, we have the Baby Bulls coming up in the next month.
Yeah.
At the end of next month.
How do you see this team progressing over time, and what is your ultimate goal for the season?
Sure. I mean, it's a loaded question, but I will say that with usually with so many pieces and new pieces, including myself, including the coaches, it takes a while to mesh. That being said, I think we've done a pretty good job. We had first loss tests. But yeah, I mean, there's going to be ups and downs for sure. I think if we can continue to build on what we're already doing, and I mean, I think we're at a good spot. I think we're confident, and we're excited for this stretch. In the NFL Survivor's Cup, like you mentioned, and
let's get that trending.
I think we're at a good spot. Our goal is obviously we want to make the playoffs. The team missed the playoffs last year, and that's a big goal for us. We want to get to the playoffs, and we know that when you get in the playoffs, anything can happen. So, but that being said, we need to take one game at a time, which we will, and which we are, and we know that it's a process. So we'll do that this weekend with Hartford.
Good deal. Hashtag trust the process.
We're going 76ers on us now? Okay.
Hey, man, they made the playoffs.
That's true.
A couple of rapid-fire questions. We'll kind of just alternate these off. Toughest opponent on the field?
Toughest opponent on the field? Are you talking this year or
ever? Just who was the toughest person you ever played against?
I would say, if I'm going to go defender, I would say Chad Marshall. Chad Marshall is the best defender I've played against. He's just a monster. Probably best player I played against was Thierry Henry. Just the way he pretty much controlled the whole game and pretty much did whatever he wanted. So that was definitely impressive.
Who's the most influential manager or coach/person in your career?
Good question. There's a couple. My first would be my high school coach, Jason Sponick. He's a really influential person in my life. That's probably more so outside of the game of soccer. For the game of soccer, I think probably Carlos Zamorano. He was a huge part for me, and I had him at Carolina, and he was really good for me when I transferred in, and I think he definitely got the best out of me as a player, and it allowed me to perform to the best of my ability. So I think those two definitely stick out.
Who was the most underrated player you've ever played with or against?
Most underrated player. I can't quick buy that one. You're gonna have to come back.
All right, that's fair. Highest and lowest point in your career.
Say that one again.
Highest and lowest point of your career.
Okay, highest point of my career. Probably winning the national championship with North Carolina. Is one of my highest points. My lowest point is definitely the injuries. My rookie season and preseason, I had to have surgery, and I didn't play until the 34th out of 34 games that year.
Oh, wow.
Also, I had a really bad injury when I was about, 17, I broke my leg, and that was really tough to come back from. But I'm, like I said, I'm thankful that I'm still playing today, and thankful that that's all healed and in the past. So definitely interesting.
With the $1 million bonus, what's the first thing you buy?
$1 million bonus. What's the first thing I buy? You're probably looking for something exciting. I would probably buy something for my family, maybe a new home or something like that, to be honest.
You can do what Russell Wilson did.
My kids to play in.
Yeah, Russell Wilson bought his offensive lineman stock in Amazon.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
You can buy Tim Bacchus in the back four stock in Amazon.
Yeah.
What's a good story you can tell us? Names optional, obviously, from the training ground or the away or an away day or the locker room. Just what's a good story that if somebody asks you for a soccer story, that's the one that comes to your head first?
Sure. Are you talking about this year with NCFC?
It can be. If you would like to name drop people that we know, that would be fantastic.
Let me think. You're putting me on the spot. This is a tough, rapid fire question.
We like to make our guests sweat. We can circle back to that.
I can say that there's plenty of, I won't name names, but there's plenty of DJs in the locker room, and there's a good amount of them who shouldn't be DJs. but I think we mentioned that before at the jersey unveiling, but
fair.
I mean, Robbie tends to get on get DJing, and pretty much everyone tries to replace his phone at some point.
What does he play? Does he play like techno Europop? Like what's he do?
There's a time for anything. There's a time for all of that, but you know, like 8 a.m. in the morning is a tough time for that. So that can be my story.
Do you have any pre-match rituals or superstitions?
Superstitions, no superstitions. Not really. Pre-match rituals. Before kickoff, I say a prayer. That's one of my routines that I go through, and then usually if I score and if they're there, I usually try and find my family. So those are probably the two things.
In your opinion, what is the best and worst away day city?
Okay. The best and worst away city. Let me see here. If I'm just talking USL, if I'm going to go back to the NASL, I'm going to say San Francisco was the best. That was incredible. That was an awesome trip. I'll say in the NASL because there's clearly a worst. The worst is, for me personally, is got to be Edmonton.
That's what Austin Alou said. He had zero hesitation in his voice.
That is just a very, very tough place to go on very many levels.
I can respect that.
Do you have any other clubs that you follow overseas?
Yeah, that's a good question. When I was young, I'm always interested in my team. It was tough. When I was a kid, my favorite player was David Beckham. So that kind of stemmed from that. And kind of just stuck with them. Kind of with Jose Mourinho. Now with Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, it's there a little bit. So I will definitely say that that's my team. I do enjoy watching other teams, though. I'm not like some diehard fan where I can't watch the other teams. So I just like good soccer, for sure.
Oh, so you're not watching Man United this year? Because we suck this year.
what's your guys' team?
Oh, I'm a Man United fan.
Okay.
I am currently in the market because my team is garbage.
Fulham?
Stoke.
Oh, okay.
Oh, Stoke. Okay. I was gonna guess Arsenal, but okay.
Ooh.
I like you so much. The thing people don't know about you is blank.
The things people don't know about me?
Yeah, like what's the one thing people don't know about you?
Let me see here. Well, I'd say everyone knows that I have a family at this point, so what don't people know about me? Okay, I'm looking at it. I have a golden doodle. Her name is Charlie.
Oh,
cool.
And she gets run over by the kids often. So, she's a good dog, though.
We need a dog day at the at Wake Med so that all the players can bring all their dogs so that we can all pet them.
She would love that.
Yes. If you weren't playing soccer, what would you be doing?
That's a great question. If I wasn't playing soccer, I mean, I would probably be around sport. If I didn't play soccer, I wanted to be like some kind of trainer or some kind of physical therapist or something like that, just with my injuries and all that. That seems pretty interesting to get people back on the field. So something like that, or coaching, but definitely around sport and most likely around soccer.
Cool, man. Well, that does it for our rapid fire. We do have three listener questions for you real quick. Two of them are from Justin, our Patreon friend. Question number one, what is the one place / thing in the triangle that you think more people should know about?
The one thing that people should know about, well, for me, I mean, coming here, the last time I was here, I obviously was in college, so now I'm here with a family. I mean, it's an incredible place to raise a family, I would say. There's so many things to do, whether it's events or parks and all these different things. I mean, we've been on mostly in Ontario and a little bit into Raleigh. And, yeah, I mean, that's a huge draw. And I didn't really know that before, to be honest.
Cool, man. And Justin's other question is, which member of the hashtag NCFC fam would you most want on your side during the zombie apocalypse?
Okay.
There is no other context. You can pick literally anybody.
You can pick from NCFC or Courage, because he did say the whole fam.
The person that I would pick is might surprise some people, but I think I would pick Yusuf.
Oh.
You know what? He does seem pretty scrappy.
Yeah.
I would pick Yusuf because, one, I know he's street smart, and two, he knows, like, every language there is. So when we are going all over the place, he's going to be able to talk to everyone.
that's a pretty soundproof or bulletproof plan.
Yeah.
And then our buddy Seth, friend of the pod, he would like to know, do the football lines at Indy ever confuse you while you're playing, or is it just us in the stands that have to suffer?
Yeah, that's a good question. And he's going to have that question when we play them in a couple weeks as well. But does it confuse me? Yes, it's confusing. However, unfortunately, the worst downside is with the turf. They did replace it, so it's a lot better now, but the turf was so, like, matted down. It was really tough to play. The ball would just continually bounce up, which, you know, isn't great for a rolling ball. So do the lines confuse you? Yes. And plenty of teams would come and complain about the lines, and, yeah, it's definitely annoying. So yeah, it's less than ideal, and it's definitely not Wake Med, that's for sure.
Yeah, nothing is Wake Med. I have one follow-up to that. What's worse, playing on like an American football field with American football lines or playing on a baseball field?
Oh, man, that's a good question right there. Okay, I'm going to say it's worse than a baseball field. That is so tough. There's a couple. I know that there's more this year or something, but one that we played on last year was so bad. There's like
Louisville.
I mean, Louisville. I think Louisville is pretty bad. The thing that's tough about Louisville is it's got like three different turfs. So it's got like grass, then it's got other turf, then it's got other turf, and that's like just really bad for a rolling ball.
I'd imagine the Cosmos Field in the NASL was a combination of like both nightmares. It was a turf baseball field.
Yeah.
Yes, that. But they had that stuff laid down over top. That was just weird. So, yeah, I would say playing on a football field with football lines is a lot less worse than playing on a baseball diamond.
Well, Ben, thank you so much for coming on and joining us today. Where can people find you on Twitter, Instagram, et cetera?
Of course, yeah, of course. My Twitter, you can feel free to follow me on there. And more importantly, I look forward to seeing everyone out at the game against Hartford on Saturday. And we will do our best to bring 3 points and put on a show for everyone.
All right, man. Come on, you dead whales.
Thank you, Ben.
Thanks, Ben.
All right, guys. Thanks so much. Really appreciate you having me on.
Thanks, bud.
Bye. All right. That was Ben Spees of North Carolina FC. We want to thank him for coming on. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back. Simon and I are going to discuss the walloping we put on Matthews Independence, and we're going to discuss a little bit about the Courage.
To quote Prince, the whooping was great.
Bam. We'll be back in a moment.
Welcome back to 6 Point Weekend. We just got off with Ben Spees. Going to go ahead and say, what a guy.
He was pretty awesome. I appreciate him coming on tonight.
So let's go ahead and recap the action from last weekend, shall we? As I quoted Prince, the whooping was real.
We had a 6 Point weekend.
We did have a 6 Point. Well, we had a 6 Point extended weekend.
We're going to
give it
to
him. Because the Courage played on Thursday.
Wednesday.
Yeah.
Still counts.
So the Charlotte Independence of Matthews, 0. Your North Carolina FC, 3. Goals were Austin Deleuze in the 45th minute, Mario Slomas in the 73rd, and Ben Spees in the 85th.
Yeah.
I can go ahead and tell you the weather didn't cooperate because of the 400 people that were there, or what it looked like were there, we were the only ones in the stands because it started to rain.
Yeah.
Fun fact, they're allergic to the rain, apparently. In Charlotte.
They're allergic to soccer in Charlotte.
Allergic to winds or what they're allergic to.
Woo!
Boom.
Oh, snap.
The Dead
Hot
Whales.
Take Mario.
I know, right? I'm back and I'm furious. The Dead Whales are 6-1 all time. 6-1 all time against the Charlotte Independence of Matthews.
Do you know when that one came?
It came on Black Tuesday or whatever when our owners, who shall not be named, were indicted for FIFA scandal.
Yeah.
So that's what it takes for them to get a win. I'm fine with it. We'll never lose again.
Yep, I'm okay with that.
So we're 6-1 all time. Those are 6 straight. We have outscored them 23-5. That is almost 4 goals a game.
Counting, so you're saying we're good.
I'm saying we're good and they're crap.
I'm okay with that too.
Yeah, Austin Deleuze was back off of a suspension and got him a goal. Marvel's IMAX, if you're listening, that is 2 tickets to Avengers.
In game, he's ready for him.
Yeah, I believe he.
Let's start the hashtag IMAX. Give him ticks.
Hey, they said double for a game winner.
Double for a game winner.
He did win the game with his goals. So yeah. Austin, if you need a date, your boy's got no plan.
I think his wife would have something to say about that.
If he gets double tickets,
it's 2 ticks.
Oh, all right, fine. So the only thing that I can say negatively is that the Independents had like a few. Like clear shots on goal. I don't know if they were actually on target.
Yeah. So they're like in the 20s, like first 20 seconds in, Jackson got off a good shot.
Yeah.
That missed just wide. And then I think it was like 20 minutes in, he got off another shot that looked like it rippled the back of the net, but it actually skimmed the side of the net.
Yeah. And then there was the free kick at the start of the second half. And then, like, maybe one other save. Timbakis didn't have a whole lot to do.
Timbakis hung with us in the stands. So.
Like, I'm pretty sure I saw him smoking a cigarette in the stands. Yeah. Like, he didn't have anything to do. And during the game, this is obviously a big rivalry to us, to North Carolina FC, to the players. And it was brought up on the broadcast that it's not a big deal to the players of the Independents because they're new. They keep rotating in. You know, it's not a real rivalry. So my question is, do the Charlotte players really care about this rivalry, or do they just go out there and try to win the game? Like, I know everybody goes out there and tries to win, but you could tell by our players' body language after Austin scored, he ran over to us and just basically screamed.
Yeah.
Mario's was over the moon, over the moon running over to us. And Ben Spies hit that rocket and then ran over to us. I don't think I've ever seen their players hype as the smack talkers on Twitter were.
I mean, they've celebrated more goals with us than they have with their own fans. The one thing that I will point out is, they bought a lot more fans to this game. In recent games, it looked a little thin on broadcast when we were watching their previous games before this one.
I had said our side, because we were on the side of the camera, and our side must have been full because it was awfully thin on the other side. But I can't say, at least we didn't have bro dad.
Yeah.
That one bro dad that wants to throw down and try to fight us. We did not see him. So,
hey, I mean, man, it was raining. So,
two victories on the night.
I guess we came out kind of in the game. We came out a little bit slow. I mean, I think that was just everybody trying to get a feel for the game.
I think our players were ready for one of the Martinez's to double foot them in the kneecap.
Yeah.
Which tends to happen. And honestly, using the tree formation, I mean, we were hogging possession and they were giving it to us. So we could be slow and methodical.
But into the second half, we were up 1-0.
Yeah, Austin hits that one right as the old cliche, you know, the worst time to give up a goal was right before the half. Austin hits it. We go into the half up 1. I think the general vibe of our stands were, you know, bring me more.
Yeah.
And we give up that free kick, which was, I guess it was a free kick. I'm not in the mood to argue whether or not it was. and then it was basically just kind of back and forth for 20-ish minutes until Manny Perez got a few breaks down the wing. And you can see his goal was to whip it in to Marios or whip it in and have it ricochet back to Spies. And you know, the commentators also said that, you know, Mario scored the easiest goal he's ever going to score. Guess what, bro? It still counts.
Yeah. I mean, let's talk about Manny, because he had a phenomenal game.
That boy put on a show.
That was amazing. He made Gutman look like a spectator all second half.
Beat him like a... My dad used to say, beat him like a drum. I think he beat him like a dirty carpet.
Manny Perez played one of the best games I've seen him play all season. Even as a sub. He started that game in... Now Miller has some competition for starting.
Oh, yeah. I don't think Manny came here to sit behind Steven.
No.
He's not here to enjoy the warmer weather in the summer. Because everyone knows those Scottish summers are to die for.
Oh, yeah. He made his case, and I can see him starting Saturday against Hartford.
Yeah, moral of the story, our Celtic loanee is better than theirs. And then it wasn't that much longer until we were getting routine chances on goal. Spies had probably a better shot blocked than one that went in. It was a curler upper 90 away, and their goalkeeper got, you know, he got two hands on it. So props to him. It was a great save. And then what was it? Three plays later, we were just like, oh, somebody cleared it. Oh, no, there's Ben. Oh, that went in.
Oh, that was a rocket.
That was a... He's been looking at Merritt Mathias game tape.
Yeah.
Rockets only.
Can we bring that back?
I mean, I'm willing to say that Ben Spies is pretty good.
Yeah.
I'm willing to go
math
on record.
Math checks out.
Yeah, math checks. So...
But not only did this win also helped us with the Southern Derby.
It put us in first place by a goal difference.
Yes.
Because we said last week we had to beat them by 3 in order to move into first place.
Yep.
What happened?
We beat them by 3.
3-0 win.
So the next game for the Southern Derby is us. It's NCFC versus Charlotte. So with that game, there's a lot of outcomes. Zach did the math for me. Thank you, Zach.
Yeah, shout out to Zach for doing all the math.
Yes, I appreciate it, sir. So the only way Charlotte stays in it is if they win. If they lose or draw, they're done. And then it's just us and Charleston again. So,
well, every Cascadia Cup needs a Vancouver.
True.
Charlotte's just filling that spot, man.
True. Now we're going to have Birmingham fans in our mentions. Thanks.
Ugh. You know what? It's the Southern Derby, not the Southern Derby.
So, I mean, all we have to do, we just need to keep winning. We need to keep winning. We need to keep playing our game. Like Ben said, they're going to take it a game at a time. And not only for the Southern Derby, but for the season. So, I honestly think the cup stays with us this year.
Cup stays blue.
Cup stays blue.
Let's get that trending. Hashtag cup stays blue.
Yes. Maybe we can replace it finally because it looks ugly as crap.
Oh, fun fact. If you set off smoke in that cup and then it rains, your hands will be blue. Your hands will be blue through Easter Sunday. I have blue stuff under my nails all day. I looked down and I was like, looked like Tobias from Arrested Development. Here's you a reference, Dave. I can do references too.
You can do the old time references. There was that void we were missing.
I know, right?
But yes, we took a bus down. We got 3 points. We took a bus back home, and we sang the whole way there. The ride home got a little weird because it was a lot of Hamilton.
We met you guys at the stadium. And I remember, like, the bus rolled in, and I'm like, oh, that's not the bus we took last year. That's probably the players. And my wife goes, nah, I think I just saw Ebony get off that bus. And it was when Zach was bringing the drum and the TIFO in there. Shout out for the TIFO, by the way. If you didn't see it, check NC TIFO on Twitter. It's a chef kiss emoji of fantastic shade. And I ran over, and I was like, so are we parking the bus somewhere so that we can, you know, do whatever? And somebody goes, hey, man, you get on that bus, beer's beer. And so we ran on the bus, and then we were on the bus from parking lot to parking lot, and then we were there for the taco party. So new OCS tradition, if it's your birthday, bring tacos. Because
And cake.
They were fantastic.
Yes, thank you to Alan and his family for celebrating his son's birthday with us and bringing tacos.
Yes. And new OCS tradition, if someone says don't bring beer off the bus... Brian, don't bring beer off the bus.
Because you will get arrested.
You might get arrested. Oh, goodness. Talk about hardening the mother loving paint.
It was still a fun bus ride. We made some time. Our bus driver was a G. He was in the fast lane, and he would just go.
Oh, yeah?
And, like, if there was a car in the fast lane that wasn't moving to his liking, he was right there on their ass. No. And they would be like, they'd look up, and then they'd just skirt right on over.
Oh, that's a bus.
Oh, yeah. We stopped once. We got Bojangles.
Shade.
And,
you know, because Sterling wasn't on the bus.
Yeah.
That's why you only stopped once.
Yeah. But we did have a bathroom on the bus this year. Whew, thank God.
Hopefully everybody followed the bus bathroom rule.
Yes.
Okay.
I made sure of that.
If you don't know what the bus bathroom rule is, Google it. I'm not going to say it out loud.
Thank you. Yeah, and then on the way back, we didn't stop at all. But there was like a whole good hour and a half of show tunes after we stopped listening to the Canes. Yeah, that was done.
That was sad. That was rough with two Fs.
Yeah.
But
oh well,
still alive. They still won more games than Pittsburgh and Tampa Bay combined.
True. That's right. All that matters. That's and all. Calgary, because the two number one seeds are gone.
Suck it, Peters.
Yeah.
So that was this weekend. Looking forward to next weekend. I guess we got the Dead Whaler Derby.
Yeah.
Or whatever we're going to call that.
I don't know what we're going to call it, but we're bringing – Dead Whales go to PNC Arena for a couple Hurricanes games, and we call it Dead Whales on Ice. Well, now – Red Eye Rowdies is going to come join us in the stands. Don't know what we're going to call that yet, but we'll think of a name.
Live Rowdies on Grass?
I like it.
Yeah, too many words. We'll workshop it, KP.
Yeah.
So, if you would like to, so if you're listening to this and you haven't already gotten tickets, thanks. You must be new here.
Yeah.
You can go to oakcitysupporters.com/promos. and that will take you through the link to get your discounted tickets. And the promo code is RER for Red Eye Rowdies. Those tickets are $10 a piece. I looked at it. I workshopped it on Ticketmaster. I think it's like $10.20 cents after fees.
Wow.
Hey, man, I did research, man. Yeah. People were like, how much are the tickets? And I'm like, $10. And they're like, nothing's ever $10. So, I mean, I kind of brought it up with Ben if he thinks or if anyone with the club sees this as a trap game. Big if true, Hartford aren't very good.
No.
They've played 7 games, lost 7 games, and they have a minus 15 goal differential. I kind of pulled up comparative rankings. For NCFC and Hartford Athletic, games play in NCFC, you're going to be first. Games played 6 and 7. Goals 11-3. Shots on target 33-25. Shooting accuracy 46% to 39%. Shot conversion rate 15%, 4%. Assists 7-2. This team is trash on fire. If Dave can get our boys up to play this game, he deserves Coach of the Year. Literally, Coach of the Year is going to be everybody else in the Eastern Conference. Oh, you got up and played Hartford. You didn't let them cruise control. You get Coach of the Year. Just like Coach of the you get Coach of the Week.
Yeah.
I don't.
I mean, we kind of underestimated Memphis a little bit.
We did, and they played dirty. Well, okay, they weren't dirty players, but they played dirty, if that makes any sense.
Like they played scrappy.
They weren't the Showtime Lakers. Right. They were the 05 Pistons.
Oh, wow.
Was it 05? The one with Ben Wallace? And that's anyway, we're not that kind of podcast. But so, like, you look at the beautiful game. They were Tony Pulis's Stoke City. But they got a draw, so, and they're doing, Memphis is doing pretty good. So maybe we just underestimated them as an expansion side, but Hartford is straight trash, man. I watched the highlights, and I was like, oh, maybe it just got away from them. Well, then I watched the game because I hate myself. I watched them versus Red Bull 2, and it was just as bad. Like, people in Hartford are calling for the coach's head.
How? You've played 7 games.
They played 7 games. They're calling for the coach's head.
You haven't even opened your new stadium yet. You do that against Charlotte. Maybe you'll get your first win there.
Oh, my God. So I told some of the guys in Charlotte, because some of the Charlotte season ticket holders sit in our section. Shout out to Johnny and Corey from Soccer and Sweet Tea.
Yeah.
The beers got away from them, and they were just like, man, we suck. Burn it down. Start over. I was like, hey, man, you got Hartford next week. You're all good, brother. And they were like, I don't know. So surely Hartford's going to start over, and they're so bad. Minus 15 goal differential, but they have it on the road because they're opening their new stadium. Opening air quotes. It looks like a rendering because there's a field, there's a rectangle around it, and there's like one side of stands. So it's not done
Fort
yet.
Fort Madison's looks better, honestly. Have you seen their stadium?
I've seen like highlights from the stadium. I haven't seen like a graphic of it or like
I haven't seen a graphic either, but I've seen
an aerial shot.
Like, I've just seen the pieces that they've been posting about, and it looks good.
Honestly, the Kicker City Stadium is better, and that place is a dump. I'm sorry. Hot take. I don't like the City Stadium. But
I mean, RFK?
I never went to RFK.
City
Stadium might be the worst stadium I ever went to, and I was in the original Georgia Dome, like before they tore it down. It was a piece too, but it was also old.
Yeah.
Welcome to the stadium talk section of 6 Point Weekend. One thing real quick, there is a local product that is now playing for Hartford. Colin Martin is on loan from Minnesota United. He went to Wake Forest. And
I hate that we have to beat them as well, as bad as we're going.
He has to play. I'm going to get a jukebox and play Run to the Hills from Iron Maiden. As soon as they announce him, I'm just going to take over the PA system. And I'm going to announce, you know, number whatever, Colin Martin, run to the, like that, like just run, man, just get on the bus and go back to Wake Forest, man, they love you there.
All right.
And it's also his claim to fame.
He came out last year during Playing for Pride.
Good for him.
Yeah.
Very proud of him. Very proud of you personally, professionally. Get out of Hartford.
I don't think he got that choice, you know?
Find you a better agent. I'll get you Weavin' Stevens' street team. They will negotiate you a better deal than a season-long loan to Hartford Athletic. Oh, man, they're... Oh, so moral of the story, come out and see the Dead Whales. It should be a party. We might run out of smoke and streamers. Hopefully, we won't run out of beer and hot dogs.
No.
And grill stuffs. So if you're listening to this and you feel like you want to bring some grill stuffs for the tailgate, come on, man. It's supposed to be really nice, just overcast, cloudy, mid-60s.
Come loose to me in beer pong and eat a hot dog. Boom.
That sounds like a pretty fantastic day.
Yeah. You got a score prediction?
I'm going to say 2-1. We go up 2 and then just take our foot off the gas and they get a late one like Louisville.
I was going to go 3-1 because apparently I've been underestimating my Dead Whales.
Hey, man. Indy 11 only beat them by 1, yeah. But I think they and Hartford scored that goal. So hopefully our boys stay on them. Hopefully Austin DeLuz is okay. He got a pretty rough shot in the knee. In Charlotte.
Oh, that cheap shot that took them all?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're not going to talk about it.
And then hopefully Donovan's okay because he struck the ball kind of weird. And we were saying in the stands, me and Jeff Levine, we were like, I think he just broke a bone in his foot because he swung his foot so weird and hit the ball on such an awkward angle. So hopefully all our guys are okay and good to go.
I mean, he came back on.
Yeah, before having to be subbed off.
Yeah, that was later in the second half.
Yeah, though. Later in the game.
I hope this helps them recuperate a little bit more. A nice win will do that for you, though.
Yeah, kind of like how, Western Carolina goes to play football against, like, Alabama.
Yeah.
Like, Alabama still gets credit for the win, but they basically get a week off. Like, I could go for that.
Yeah.
Other than that, I got nothing from the Dead Whales. We beat our rival. We're up in first place in the Southern Derby Cup, and we have a practical bye week this week. Bring it on, man.
Let's do it. Let's continue with the dominance because the Courage played on Wednesday.
Oh, did they ever.
And they played Orlando.
The Fire Festival of football.
Oh, damn.
They've spent so much money and have underachieved so many times.
How do you have Alex Morgan, Marta... Camilla on a team, Ashlyn, I guess we're going to consider Ashlyn Harris good, on a team and still suck so bad.
You know what? So last week I was on here and I said that, you know, I don't go to every Courage game. Well, I went to this Courage game and I was sitting there and I'm like, okay, so who are the danger people for Orlando? And is everybody you just listed? And I'm like, who are they?
Yeah.
I didn't see him at all.
I forgot Alex was. Do you want to know how bad it was? I forgot Alex was still in the game at the end of the game.
She must have been like, she went full John Cena. Yeah. I couldn't see. Like, I had
she,
no
she
idea
does great for country, and I appreciate her so much, but she gives a shit about her club, and she has the worst form. Lynn Williams is in a better form for club than Alex Morgan is by far for 2 years straight.
What's up, Jill?
What up?
What up?
Where my girl at? You we got McCall called up. Let's get Lynn Williams called up.
You don't have Yahoo streaming, Jill? Yeah.
No one does, apparently, because nobody could watch these games.
Quick hot take. This league needs a TV deal.
Yeah.
So if we can just...
ESPN Plus.
If we can run this league again, and then, like, on the acceptance speech, like, you know, Malik or, you know, Paul Riley can just be like, oh, thanks, we won again. By the way, get a TV deal.
Yeah. I mean, we're going to run the league. I think we finish in second. I've said this before, but starting from the very beginning, Courage opened up.
Well, there was a brace from Dunn,
yep.
A goal from Williams,
yep.
A goal from McDonald,
yep.
A goal from Spetsmark.
I was giving it to Harris because that definitely bounced off her back.
I mean, I'm not going to say I called a 5-0 win. And I'm not going to say that the last 10 minutes of the game, I was like, come on, score prediction. And I'm not going to say when that went in, I may have overreacted to a 5-0 win. I was pretty excited. Mountain Dew went flying everywhere.
I can understand being excited because, I mean, I always went 1-2 or 4. I believe I said 2-1. And
well,
I need to stop underestimating my teams.
Well, Dave said 4-1, and we were all like, oh, well, I guess that was an own goal by the Pride. I guess that counts as 4-1. And like on top of that, just general shenanigans. Like we had fun in the North Stand. We had fun
in the 110s.
In the 110 section, we had fun basically everywhere you can have fun in that stadium because it was a party from minute one to minute 90.
Well, let's talk about the goals a little bit. Lynn Williams scored in the 45th minute. It was a Crystal Dunn takeaway.
Oof.
And then you had the DMW running right at you. You had Dunn, McDonald, and Williams, and she just had to choose which one.
That good luck.
Yeah.
I got nothing for you, man.
Yeah.
Good luck. And that wasn't even like the first clear cut chance either.
No.
Like there were chances. Like this game could have been like this. Like 5-0 in soccer is bad. Like it's ugly. It could have been
10-0. Honestly.
Honestly, it could have been 6 or 7. Yeah. Like they could have hung a touchdown.
They could have kicked the extra point. Not gonna lie. They could have went for two.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
It got ugly pretty fast too. But props to our team for like staying hungry and staying on them. Like they could have stopped at 2 or 3 because
what's the fun of that?
Well, professionalism. I don't care.
Nah.
Go score your goals. Oh, by the way, to whom it may concern, both of those goals by Dunn should be up for goal of the week.
Yeah,
both of them.
Absolutely, and the fact that it wasn't. Well, there was a bike.
All right. Well, fine. I didn't say she had to win goal of the week. I just said they should have been up for nomination.
Yeah.
So, whatever.
The fact that it wasn't
I'm
over it. Well, it at least Pierre didn't have to choose now.
Burn. So, our next opponent is Houston Dash, which is Sunday at 6 p.m. Maybe we'll rotate some players in because
We did get some good players in. Spet Smart came into the game a little late, and she scored our first goal for the regular season. Pruitt came in. She was good. Hamilton, the birthday girl, came in, and she was good. I mean, I'm saying they're good. Like, we don't know that this team is not total domination.
Well, they're also playing Houston that barely beat Sky Blue with a goal in the 83rd minute.
So, Houston...
I don't know much in this world, but I know Sky Blue is the Hartford Athletic of women of WOSO.
Yeah, that's fair.
They're bad, man. It's just they're a bad team. They were a bad team last year, and from what I saw, their top two draft picks said, nah.
Basically.
We're not going. So, and the Dash have given up two penalties.
Yeah, they gave up a penalty. No. They give up a penalty. Oh, yeah. Rain missed the penalty.
Yeah.
So their first game was at home. They drew 1-1. Darian Jenkins got on the board. Longtime friend of the pod. Sorry she had to go, but she's getting some good playing time, although she wasn't on the roster when they went up to the Dash. I mean, when they went up to Sky Blue.
She didn't want to play on that field and have to bust to take a shower.
Yeah.
She's like, nah, I'll sit this one out.
Well, they got new shower facilities because they're playing somewhere else now.
Oh, okay.
So they're slowly rebuilding. Huerta scored for them. Everybody's saying that this could be Huerta's breakout season in the NWSL, especially when all the national team players go. And she could go on a little run, but then they forgot that the Courage are still here.
I'm certain, like, because I don't know if the Courage play the Dash during the international break, but like I said last year, I'm pretty sure Paul Riley has our backups ready to swallow this league whole.
Yeah. I mean, our like, if you take away our whole starting 11, which they're going to for the World Cup.
Practically, yeah.
Our quote-unquote B team could still get third in the league, I think.
Yeah, if you took them and let's say you give Western New York back their team and you take our air quotes B team, they're probably a playoffs team.
Yeah, I 100% agree with that.
Well, this team is deep. This team is talented, and I don't think you'd classify them as air quotes old.
No,
like the starting 11.
No, you still got some sparks in there. Dabinia, O'Sullivan. Lynn Williams is still good, like Crystal Dunn. You've got some veteran presence, obviously, with
McCall,
McDonald, Erceg, LeBay.
Mewis.
Well, Mewis is still young.
Yeah, but like for the league, like she's been in the league.
She's been in the league
so
a couple
many,
years.
So many years. But she's an anchor in the midfield for Club and Country.
Yep.
So I would like.
Well, trying.
Trying, yeah.
For Country, Jill. God, I feel like we're calling Jill's name a lot about this team.
Well, each one of our players are like, well, yeah, they don't get much national team run. And you go, well, they must not be that good. No, they're that good.
They're good.
The players are great. The coach is just...
She's
hanging on to the glory days. Like, I don't know. All right, man. You do. I swear to God, if I see Hope Solo in that goal, I'm out. I'm out.
I would take Hope right now versus what we have going in right now. Nair learned from Hope, which is good. But Ashlyn's kind of like floundering around right now. And it looks bad because she's her. Well, first, for Orlando, their back line is atrocious. Like, you've got two players past their prime playing in goal and on the right side, and two young kids that have never played center back before starting against Lynn Williams, Crystal Dunn, and Jess McDonald.
And in front of them is that midfield that we just talked about.
Yeah. In front of them, you got O'Sullivan / Dabinia, McCall, Mewis. Like, that's not fair.
No. And then once our subs come in, like, who, like, Hamilton was a sub.
Hamilton was a sub. Pruitt was a sub. And Spetsmart was a sub.
Oof.
That's a lot of speed.
Oof.
And that's a lot of speed. That's a lot of manpower. Or woman power, I'm sorry. And just a whole lot of attacking presence. Doesn't even have to be about speed. Leah is... She's like a shorter Jess McDonald. She's going to get in there. She's going to run you down, and she's going to put her head on the ball. She's going to swing that foot through. She's going to get some pace on that.
Dude, Jess put in a shift.
Yeah.
She was so good. It was so much. Like, I forgot how much fun it is and how close you are to the field in the North Stand. Like, literally the only problem with the North Stand is that you have all the families like clutching their pearls. Yeah. They're like, what are they doing? Chanting and singing and clapping and having... This is a soccer game.
You can see the... So when we were in the North Stand, we sat on, like, the corner. And you could see the Developmental Academy for the Courage sitting up in, like, 309. Mm-hmm. And they were just kind of, like,
what are
pointing.
They, like, what are these?
But we also had some little girls in, like, a couple sections over that were, like... As we were starting to do a couple of repeat ones, they were starting to pick up on it.
Yeah.
So I could hear it throughout the North Stand as they were chanting with us. I was like, this is cool. You know, I'm having fun.
Well, I mean, I'm sure the players enjoy playing for an environment, an atmosphere. Apparently, the Baltimore Orioles are up on the White Sox.
Yes.
Cool. But, you know, it was fun, man. It was a lot of fun. I'm going to try to go to more Courage games now.
Yeah. I don't think I'll be there for May 4th, which is sucks, because that's going to be Star Wars night.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
It's my jam. I think we have plans, too. Well, now, I just said we're going to go to more. I'm going to try to go to more Courage games. I think I have plans for the next one. But if you haven't been to a Courage game, if you don't think, you know, the Courage are your thing, go to a game, man. It's super fun.
Yeah.
The team's really good. You still have all the amenities of Wake Med Soccer or Shaelin Stadium at Wake Med Soccer Park.
Trademark.
And you have the best women's team on the planet.
Yeah.
They're hosting the ICC here too. So
yeah.
On top of that.
Pre-sale just started, and then I think general tickets go on sale on Friday.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm excited for that too. Ticket prices are pretty affordable. I was looking at the pre-sale prices for them. Looks pretty good.
Might be a little hot, but
it's probably I'd definitely drink a couple beers or two before I'd go in just to cool down.
Yeah, and then get you a water from the concession stand.
$6 water? What?
Hey, man, they got free water fountains for refills.
True. Hey, I can't knock that.
Just
I'm
saying.
Okay with that.
Hey, man, the official takeaway from NC Courage, why so good?
Yeah, that's always a good question. So we did have one question from Scott, and it was about NCFC. At 6PW, brought to you by London Bridge Pub, where we record every week. Thank you so much to them. They are now serving food, and I haven't had a bad thing yet, so I'm good. Scott asked, would that ball still be traveling if it wasn't stopped by the net because it was such a good rocket?
Ooh.
I think that ball keeps going until it scores here at Wake Med.
Maybe, yeah. It was, it was so good. The highlight missed it because they couldn't cut to it fast enough. I'll tell you what, if the net hadn't been there, the ball might have actually gone to Charlotte.
Ooh, oh, got him.
Got him.
Got him.
Thank you, Scott.
I think that's a good place to stop right
I think
there.
That's got us. We want to thank our sponsors, Golden Ball Press, the best choice to get custom shirts, hats, mugs, and other items just for yourself or your organization. Check them out. Check out their amazing products at the fraction of the price of other places, goldengoldpress.com. We're also brought to you by Tasty Beverage Company, tastybeverageco.com, and the beautiful game network, bgn.fm. Friends of the pod, Soccer in Sweat T.
Hashtag SNST fam.
Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at 6 Point Weekend. Don't do it on Instagram. Ebony will not comment back.
Yeah, true. Also, I want to shout out to the Kings because last night, if you're listening to this, on Monday, they won game 6. And yep. So now it's going to game 7.
So whatever you did for a ritual, do it again.
God, that's $20 worth of empanadas.
Well, then you better get on it, girl.
That's a lot of empanadas.
I'm going to sit on my couch and listen to the radio because that's what I did for game 6 and we won.
Okay. Well, London Bridge is hosting a watch party with Red Eye Rowdies. So if you want to come hang out with some friends, not you, Jonathan, you stay far away.
I feel like I missed something.
So what Jonathan did was for game 5, he watched it. Oh. He hasn't watched an away game yet.
Okay.
Okay. He watched it, and what happened?
I think he watched game 2, too, didn't
yeah.
he?
Yeah.
The fight game.
And now we have to ban him.
All right, Jonathan, just set your mobile alerts up.
Yeah, no, I don't even want you to do that. That's kind of like watching the game. I will text you later. Like, as soon as the game is over, I will text you if we need to buy tickets for the second round or if we need to set up a tea time.
Sounds great. Also, please leave us a review on iTunes and subscribe wherever you listen to your podcast. This has been 6 Point Weekend. I have been your interim host, Simon, and this is our co-hostess with the mostest, Ebony.
Oh, thank you.
That's right.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys.
Peace.